Our second scripture lesson comes from John, the 17th chapter, as we continue our Lenten journey through these chapters of John that record the Last Supper discourse of Jesus before his disciples. I commend the entire 17th chapter to you. It's one long prayer of Jesus. For time's sake today, I will begin reading at verse 6, and I will finish reading at verse 19, 6 to 19. But again, I commend the entire chapter to you for your reflection. John 17 and verse 6. Hear the word of God. Jesus said, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The 17th chapter of John, the last chapter of the Last Supper discourse, is labeled by the tradition as Jesus' high priestly prayer. Priestly, as in Jesus petitioning God on behalf of the disciples, lifting them up to the Lord in prayer. Priestly, as in Jesus is commissioning them, ordaining them, sending them into the world on his behalf. If the setting of the prayer was transposed through time and place to a chancel, the chancel of a sanctuary somewhere, someplace, it is as if the disciples would be kneeling before the Lord, before Jesus, and as he prayed, Jesus would be laying hands on each one of them. Calling it the high priestly prayer also brings the preacher in the book of Hebrews to mind. Since then we have a great high priest, Hebrews chapter 4. A great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Or in other words, Jesus knew the world. Not only was Jesus in the world, Jesus knew the world. And Jesus knew where he was sending the disciples. I am no longer in the world, Jesus prayed, but they are. The disciples and those who would come to believe in him through their word, they, we are in the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. There's a well-worn preacher's phrase. Think of how many of us had those words etched deep within by preachers, conference speakers, youth group leaders. Be in the world, but not of the world. It functions as a sort of Bible-like bumper sticker. It would come as an exhortation, an encouragement, or even a bit of a threat when it comes to behavior and choices, because also, most often, the expression would drip with implications of the moral life and the avoidance of sin. Be in the world and not of the world. Indeed, there's biblical support for the phrase here in John 17. In fact, the King James and other versions translate verse 14 with Jesus saying, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And verse 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Both preceded by verse 11, "I am now no more in the world, but these are in the world." So yes, in the world, but not of it. It is easy and biblically justifiable, and it would seem to sum up what Jesus is saying with a call to his followers in generations to come: be in the world, but not of the world. I just don't think Jesus thought it was all that easy. Quite that simple. Just a phrase. At least the Jesus of John's gospel didn't think it was all that easy. A reader only has to spend just a bit of time in these chapters in John, or in all of John for that matter, to realize anything John says here in this gospel, Jesus says in this gospel, is not all that easy, nor can it be easily summed up in a phrase. It's just not all that easy, not all that simple when it comes to what it means for the disciples of Jesus to be in the world. Part of that is just trying to comprehend the beauty and the meaning of this long prayer in chapter 17. And part of that is acknowledging that it can't be all that simple because Jesus was in the world and Jesus knew the world. Maybe that's why the prayer is so long, so heartfelt, so specific, because Jesus knew that leaving the disciples in the world, that with him leaving and them staying, the challenge would be really, really hard. The Gospel of John uses the word cosmos a gazillion more times than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, easily more times than all three synoptics put together. In addition to the context of John's philosophical and theological approach to the world that Dr. Shane Berg has discussed in adult education, think Gnosticism and dualism, in addition to all that, John is just chocked full of the world. So the relationship of Jesus and the disciples to the world God so loved, in John, the relationship, let's say it's complicated. This is the world that the Word who became flesh brought into being, the world that knew him not. Those who heard about Jesus from the Samaritan woman who then went to listen to Jesus for themselves, they declared Jesus the Savior of the world. You remember Jesus declared himself the light of the world in John. The world, Jesus said, that he came not to judge but to save. This is the world that will no longer see Jesus, though Jesus told the disciples, "You will see me." And Jesus promised them a peace not as the world gives, give I unto you. In addition, there is Jesus' own experience of the world. The experience of the Word made flesh who lived among us. No account in John of the baby Jesus being born into the world, but a whole lot of Jesus in the world. Jesus knew the joy of a wedding and the grief of the death of a friend in John. Jesus stood at the well talking to the Samaritan woman, confronting the world's hate. And he went to the pool of five porticos to see the world suffering with all of the sick people gathering around just hoping to be healed. Yes, Jesus was in the world. He knew the world. He knew the ruler of the world, the darkness of the world, the evils of the world, the sinfulness of the world, and the violence of the world. After all, it was the world that brutally murdered him. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, my Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Protect them. Protect them so they may be one as you and I are one. Protect them and keep them whole so that their joy may be made complete. Protect them from the evil one and sanctify them in the truth of your word. Sanctify them in truth. And the prayer ends with this, the end of the 17th chapter. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know you, these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Yes, in the world and not of it isn't enough. No way it's enough. Whatever it all means, that though Jesus is now absent from the world and the disciples are still in it, whatever it all means, this prayer, it sounds to me like Jesus is asking that his disciples would be drawn into the very heart of God, not just in the promise of eternal life to come, but in the world right then and the world right now. That prayer language of protection and complete joy and oneness and truth and glory and love, it is Jesus asking God to draw them in, indeed, while Jesus is sending them out. The strength of God, the joy of God, the word of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the heart of God, and the disciples in the world. In the world. It can be so hard sometimes. That high priestly prayer, it's so long, but it's not long enough, because I hope Jesus is still praying it, because he knows the world and he knows you and I are still in it. A world of darkness, evil, sin, and violence. A world that seems to find a way to remind us just about every day that it's pretty much still the same world as the world portrayed in the Gospel of John, working against the teaching of Jesus and his justice, his righteousness, his love, his peace at every turn. The world. That's the world you and I are in. And if Jesus is still praying that highly priestly prayer, like I hope he is, that means that he's still sending us into that world. A while back, we had some trees taken down in our yard, and I asked the workers to leave the wood so I could chop it myself. And after a few months of weekend chopping bits at a time and not making much progress, I finally decided to rent a log splitter. I distinctly remember driving home from the rental place up on Route 27 after the guy basically just showed me where to put the gas and how to start it. And that was about it. I was driving home with a piece of equipment that could split logs and take off my arms and legs without any instruction or training. I was just sent off without even a wave goodbye. In one of our conversations with our daughter Hannah and her husband Henry, who are expecting their first child, our first grandchild, Kathy and I, were recalling how it felt to bring a newborn home from the hospital the very first time. While they do make sure the car seat's properly installed, every parent feels like they are being sent off bringing a baby into the world without a whole lot of guidance. You get more orientation when you buy a new car. Jesus is still sending his disciples out into the vast cosmos, a life so chocked full of the world. You and I are sent out into the world feeling so unprepared, feeling so small, so prone to hurt others and hurt ourselves. But while Jesus is sending us out, he's asking God to draw us in. Draw us into the strength of God, the joy of God, the word of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the heart of God, and you and I, you and me in the world. Jesus is praying for us, lifting us before the Lord, sending us into the world because God still loves the world. Jesus still yearns to transform the world he has redeemed. One has to figure that God and the Son of God and the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that divine trio could have worked all this out on their own, the transformation of the world like that. But in all the mystery of God, the wisdom of God, and what Paul called the foolishness of God, the crucified and risen Christ sends the disciples, sends his followers, sends us into the world to keep at it. For to be sanctified in truth is to be sent into the world with the trust and the faith that the very fullness of Christ goes with you. It is to go into the world with the faith and the trust that Christ will transform the world through you. Because even as Christ sends you, Christ is asking that you be drawn close to the very heart of God, not just in the life to come, but now, right here, right now. So no, being in the world and not of it is not enough. Be in the world and transform it. Because God so loved this world. And the Savior of the world is sending you and praying for you. Be in the world. And as Dr. Martin Luther King would say, always praying and working to make of this old world a new one. Thanks be to God.